We're continuing the Shir on Likutei Halachos, Evan Ezer, Hilchos Ishus, Halacha Dalid, Paragraph Zayin. V'zeh shenitztavu al meleches ha-mishkon achar ma'isa egel. Based on what we've been learning here, we'll understand why Hashem commanded the Jewish people to build the Mishkan right after the sin of the golden calf. V'chol ma'isa mishkon hoyo al yidei ho'ashirus. And the whole building of the Mishkan was using wealth. Shehem zohov v'chesef v'nechoshes, gold, silver, copper. Ki ikar chet v'egel hoyo al yidei hizgabrus heichliat murais. Because we know that what caused the sin of the golden calf was the fact that the Sitra Achra, which is also referred to as Hechle Hatmurais, the place where switches take place, Shehizgabru Al Yedei Sheyonku Me'ashirus, they got power and strength because they were able to draw from wealth. Kimay Shamru, as the Pasuk says in Chumash Dvarim, when Moshe Rabbeinu reviews what the Jews went through in the desert, he uses the words vidi zahov, and a lot of gold. And the Gemara says in Brachas, page 32, bishvil zahov shehishpat olehem, that Moshe Rabbeinu said to Hashem, because he gave the Jews all of his gold, what could they do with it? They made an idol. You can't complain to them. You gave them this abundance of gold. Vehizgabru kol kach, and the forces of the Sitra Achra got so powerful, ad shebo lidei avodah zarah mamish, to the point where they were able to get the people to actually worship idols. Sheshom ikar hahamora rachmona litzlan. That's the real exchange. Bechinas, as the pasuk says, hahemir goy elikim. Will a nation change, switch? It's Hashem. So that's the real Hechle HaTmura, is doing its thing. V'chol ze nimshach machma shehasoton hizgare bohem. And all of this came about, this worshipping of the golden calf, as a result of the fact that the Soton, the Yetzirah, tried very hard. V'hichnis bedaitom lachkoer be'inyan hasogois. And he injected into the minds of the Jewish people that they should start analyzing the concept of understanding Hashem, velamoid aleihem lahavinom bedaitom, and to try to understand, using their intellect, to try to understand certain things about Hashem that we can't really understand. Ubozeh pogmu moid. And with this, they committed a terrible sin, ad shebo lidei avodah zarah, until it ended up resulting in idol worship. Ki be'emes osur lachkor shom klal, because the truth is, it is forbidden for a Jew to analyze and to dwell on certain types of thoughts about Hashem. Ki lo mizdapkin v'lo yodin, because the Zohar HaKadosh says that when you're dealing with a certain level, on a certain level of spirituality, we can't understand, we can't expect to understand. V'zeh shediktek adoinen v'er Rabbeinu Zal ba'atoyranal, Rav Nosnal says, and this is why Rabbeinu Zal was very specific in the chapter on Likutei Moran that this halacha is based on, chapter 24, Shegam shom tzrichin emuna. When Rabbeinu Zal was speaking about the keser, the crown of Hashem, and when he was speaking about hasoga selikus, achieving a very high level of understanding of Hashem, Rabbeinu Zal made it very clear that even when we're dealing with understanding Hashem, it requires faith, meaning that there are certain things that we can't understand. Hein bebechinas birkas haseichel, both when Rabbeinu Zal spoke about the issue of seichel, shu bechinas redifus hamoichen, when he spoke about a Jew's brain racing upward, trying to reach up to Hashem. Hein bebechinas hamesater v'ameyashev. And also, when Rabbeinu Zal spoke about the barrier, the retaining wall, the keser that blocks the brain, that keeps the brain in check, not allowing it to go out of bounds, when Rabbeinu Zal spoke about both of these, the redifa and the ma'akev, he made it clear, shegam tsham tzrichin emuna, that there also there's a requirement of emuna. Because we might have thought, we know that emuna is usually associated with malchus, which is downstairs. That's all the way on the bottom of the table of the spheroids. But we might have thought that once a person has climbed from malchus to netzach hoygisoi to chesed gvur to feres, and now he's up in the moichin, chochmi birdas, over there there's no place for, emuna is not involved over there. Rabbeinu Zal made it perfectly clear that there also there's a critical need to hold on to the emuna. Bebechinas, as Rabbeinu Zal over there says, omoin mufla. There's an emuna which is associated with pele. Mufla is miloshim pele, which refers to the keser. Kemoshikosavshon, as Rabbeinu Zal writes over there in Likutei Moran. Ki oirois elu yefshel hasig, because these lights of the moichin, of the seichel, of the keser, of the redif, of the makev, it is impossible for a Jew to achieve that light, ki im kishemetzaref emuna lahasechel, unless the person makes sure to combine the seichel with emuna. And if a person does that, then there's the possibility of being able to achieve that light of the Rebetif and the Makev, those Tisha Hecholim, in the manner of Moti Veloy Moti, reaching it and not reaching it, like we spoke about in the previous Shurim, touching it but not being able to hold on to it. Aval osur lamoid velachkor sham. However, it is certainly forbidden for a Jew to try to stay there or to try to analyze it, to try to understand it on an intellectual level. Ki bemufla mimcho al tidroish. Because the pasuk says, in that which is wondrous from you, do not try to analyze it, to delve into it. Because the Zohar HaKadosh says that when we're dealing with that high level of light, a person cannot attach himself to it. We cannot understand it. We cannot hold on to it. We can touch it for a moment. As is explained very clearly in the wording of the Zohar HaKadosh, which Rabbeinu Zal quotes over there. Continuing in middle of paragraph Zion, v'ze b'chinas ha'pegam shepogmo Yisrael batchila koidem matn Torah kishloi hoyu lahem mayim. And this is also the mistake that the Jews made in the beginning when we left Egypt, before we received the Torah, when we didn't have water. We were traveling in the desert for a few days and there was no water. As the pasuk tells us there, va'al nasoisom es Hashem lemar, that Hashem got angry for the Jews testing him by saying, hayesh Hashem bekirbeinu imoyim, is Hashem with us or not? That's the simple translation of those words. Is Hashem with us or not? Ve'isa b'zoyer HaKodesh, however, the Zoyer HaKodesh says, their question was a much deeper one. Shehapegam shelohem hoyo, their sin at that time was shechokru, they were trying to analyze im bechinas yesh hu bekirbom, im bechinas ayin. Which aspect of Hashem is with us right now? Is it the yesh aspect of Hashem or the ayin? Ayin sham, look over there in the Zohar HaKadosh, where the Zohar HaKadosh analyzes that pasuk. that they were saying, Hayesh Hashem bekerbeinu, is the Yesh, is Hashem in the form of Yesh among us, or is it the Ayin? Hainu kanal. This goes back to what we discussed before. She'ikar ha'pigam shelohem, hoyo masherotsu lamoid ulahovin hasogoysanal. Their sin at the time was that they were trying to understand these deep levels of understanding of Hashem, shehem klulim meyesh va'ayin yachad, which are actually a combination of yesh and ayin, this redifa and the ma'akev. Interesting, I recall hearing from Rav Rosenfeld, Zichron Avrocha, that the word yesh in this context refers to chachma and bina. We know there's a pasuk in Mishlei where the pasuk says, kenei chachma, kenei bina. Acquire chachma, acquire bina. The word kenei, kufnun hei, is 155. 2 times 155 is 310, which is yesh. So that yesh alludes to chachma and bina. When we say that Hashem created the world yesh me'ayin, ayin is usually a nickname that's used for the keser, the crown of Hashem. So the creation was yesh me'ayin. It was chachma and bina receiving from ayin, from the keser. So here again, the process that we're discussing here, this redifa and the ma'akev, we said is the moichin, which is basically chachma and bina, trying to reach up to Hashem and being blocked by the ma'akev, the barrier, which is called the keser, which is the ayin. So here they were trying to understand what's going on here. Is it yesh or is it ayin? And they didn't know. They were trying to understand these hasogos, which are a combination of yesh and ayin together. The redif and the makev working together. Aval iev sher lamoid aleihem. However, it is impossible for a Jew to try to understand this and rationalize it. This is above our understanding. The keser is always referred to as pele, b'mufla mimcho al tidrosh, it says. Ki masigin tisha hecholin, because we achieve these 9 hecholim, shenire ki'ilu hu b'chinas yesh, and it seems as if it's yesh, because the moichin are connecting with it, me'achar shein b'chinas tishei cholin, because of the fact that there are these 9 castles, these 9 hecholim, but v'yafal pikein lo mizdapkin v'lo yodin. However, despite that, the Zohar Kodesh says the brain does not attach itself to it. We cannot understand it. Shezeh b'chinas ayin, which is what ayin is. So what? 1 second, what's going on here? Is it yesh, is it ayin? The moichin generated it. They generated these 3 hecholim, so it would seem that it's within the parameters of yesh, but on the other hand, can't get it, can't connect to it. So it seems that it's ayin. Umi sheyesh loy emuna chazaka, a person who has strong faith in Hashem, ve'enoy nichnas lachkor boze klal, and does not try to understand this, to analyze it, hu zoicher lehisaneg al Hashem, that person is zoicher to enjoy the splendor of Hashem kaviyochel, ve'lachsois benoyam zivoy daiko, and to see the sweetness of Hashem's great light, al yedei zeh, through this process, al yedei redifas hamachshava, by the brain racing, reaching up, v'hama'akev, and striking against that barrier, that wall, that fence, the keser, ashrei loy, fortunate is the person who is zeche to be involved in this. Aval tekev kisharoitze lachgor bozeh, but the moment that a Jew tries to rationalize this, and to analyze this from an intellectual perspective without emuna, nichshal bozeh ma'oid. The person ends up stumbling terribly. Ki yuchal lovoy lidei pirud chas v'shom, because the person can come to chas v'shom, make a pirud, make a separation within Hashem chas v'shom. Shebo al yidei hechli hatmurois, which is caused through this hechli hatmurois, Shehem ha-Sitra Achra, which is another term for the Sitra Achra, the Sharia b'chibura, the Siyem b'peruda, where the Zohar HaKadosh says, the Sitra Achra starts out connected, but then ends up separating. Dahainu, Shemafrid bein yesh v'ayin. The Sitra Achra causes a break, a separation between yesh and ayin, ad shenistapku, to the point where the Jews started doubting, hayesh Hashem bekirbeinu imayin. Which is it? Is it yesh or ayin? As if it's two, as if there are two different Hashems, chas v'shalom. Ki be'emes hakoil echod. Because in reality, it is all one. However, we cannot understand this. We cannot delve into this and try to analyze it from an intellectual perspective. And this is why the Torah tells us that when did this problem hit the Jewish people? When they were desperate for water, when they didn't have any water. Shehu hamshochas hashefa, which implies trying to draw sustenance from Hashem. Shenimshach mibechinas hasogis hanal. And we learned earlier that when a Jew goes up to these very high places of understanding of Hashem, that results in bringing back down a flow of shefa. Umachmas shero shenis akev hashefa mileirat lehem. And because of the fact that the Jews observed that the shefa is not coming down, it's being withheld, that's why they entered into that test. They tested Hashem to see hayesh imayin. Which is it? Is Hashem yesh or is he ayin? And chas v'shalom making a separation between the two, which is totally forbidden, because we know Hashem echod u'shemoy echod. And this was the sin of the golden calf. She'omru, the Torah tells us, they said, the heir of Rav said, Ki ze Moshe ho'ish lo yodanu mehoyeloi. This man, Moshe Rabbeinu, we don't know what happened to him. He said he was coming down after 40 days. He's not coming. We don't know. She'to'u, they made a mistake. V'omru she'moshe nistalek. They said, we know Moshe Rabbeinu went up. I guess he ended up staying there, remaining up there. Ki nichlal ba'ayin. He must have plugged into ayin and became botel there, nullified there. Just like the Gemara tells us about the story of the four who went up to the paradise, and one of them died up there. His soul left him because he became so connected on such a high level, he couldn't come back down. V'alkein omru, and therefore they said, Kum asei lanu elokim mizohav ashirus. Let's make a new G-O-D, a new Hashem, from gold and wealth. Ki rotzu lahamshich b'chinas hama'akev b'atzmoy aleihem. They wanted to try to draw the keser, the ma'akev, that barrier, which we said is from where the wealth comes from the woman. If you recall in the previous year we spoke about this. The woman, they wanted to try to draw that the wealth from the ma'akev. Me'achar shekol ha'hashpois nimshach al yodoi. Since factually, that's where all shefa does come from. It comes via the woman, via the ma'akev. Alkein pogmu. And therefore, they committed a major transgression. Ve'osu pirud. They made a separation, they made a distinction between the ma'akev, shemishom kol ho'ashirus, which is where all the wealth comes from, ubein b'chinas horedifa, and from the act of trying to reach up to Hashem, trying to learn more and more and more, and reach up to Hashem. V'loi rotzu shetirdoif machshavtam lemalo lemalo, they weren't willing to go through the process that Rabbein Azal describes of trying to learn more and more and to get to higher and higher levels of knowledge where the Moichin would reach up and generate those Tishei Cholim in the form of Moti V'loi Moti. They didn't want to go that route. Rak Rotsu Sheyamshichu Aleim Elokusoi Bebechinas Yeshus Mamish. But rather, they wanted to try to draw Hashem down into this world in a physical form, Chas V'Shalom. Shezehu HaTo'us Shel Kol Hoivdei Avodah Zarah Shebedoros HaKodmim. This was the mistake of all the idol worshippers of previous generations. They thought that it's possible. They knew also that Hashem is something spiritual on a very high level, but they thought it's possible by forming these idols out of gold and silver, very expensive, and these items of beauty, they thought they could draw Hashem into those items, Chas V'Shalom. V'chol zeh, and what caused this? Machmas taivas oylam hazeh. Because they were involved in materialism, because the people that were doing this were not spiritual people, they were migushamim. They were people who were into all the physical, materialistic desires of this world. That's why they stumbled. That's why they made mistakes. Kilalois ulihikol el shom bebechinas hatishei cholim. Because for a person to rise to very high spiritual levels, to be able to attain those nine hecholim, tzrichin leshaber kol hataivos. The person has to first conquer himself. He has to succeed in overcoming all the materialistic desires. V'lahalois hakedusha mehechli atmurois. And then be able to go down into the hechli atmurois and retrieve from there, rescue from there, the holiness which the sitrachra swallowed up. V'heim. Whereas these idol worshippers, these philosophers, these thinkers, this Erev Rav, Rotsu Leilech Achar Tavoy Sehem, they wanted to follow all of their materialistic desires, to have a good time in this world, to get involved in all the pleasures of this world. Verotzu lehafrid shefa ho ashirus shenim shechaydem akevanal, and they wanted to try to make a separation between the flow of wealth that comes via the ma'akev, to disconnect that from the moichin. And make that into an independent entity, into an idol of gold and silver. And this is why they went specifically to Aharon HaKohen. Because Aharon HaKohen was the one who was best suited to be the Kohen. Shekol avoidas hakorbonos uktoris al yodoi, whereby all the service in the Mishkan and the Beis Hamikdash of the sacrifice and the uktoris all went through him. Shaydeze daiko zoichin lahasogas tishei cholan anal. And as we learned a few pages earlier, that it's the kohen, especially the kohen gadol, who is the one who brings about the achieving of those nine hecholim when he works together with the Levi and the Yisrael. And it's from there, from up there, that a person draws all the different forms of shefa, sustenance, through the fact that the shefa, the infinite light of Hashem, started taking on a shape and form in the form of that ma'akev, that barrier, that retaining wall, that keser. V'heim, however, they, this Erev Rav, pogmu, they messed up. V'rotzu lasos hapirud al yodoi daikachashon. They wanted to bring about a separation between the ma'akev and the moichim, and to use Aharon HaKohen to help them do it. If you look back at the previous 2-3 shiurim, these are very deep concepts. But Rav Nosson Zal's continuing from where we left off, that we spoke about a process which requires starting all the way down in the basement, if you recall, the ability to go down into the Hechle Atmurois, down into the Sitrachra, and rescue holiness from there and bring it up, bring it into the arena of holiness, into the Malchus. and then start working your way up the ladder, where Malchus is Malbish Netzach Hod Yisoid, and then Netzach Hod Yisoid is Malbish Chesed Gvur Tiferes, and then Chesed Gvur Tiferes is Malbish, climbing levels and levels, until you get into the Chochma Bin Adas, and they start working as hard as they can to go higher and higher, and bouncing off each other, bouncing off that barrier, the keser, the ceiling, the roof on top of them, and that generates these nine hecholim, which is where the Radifa and the Ma'akev are meeting. They're uniting there, and that brings about a flow of shefa, etc., etc. That was the proper way of doing all of this, where in the end, it required coordination and unity between the Radifa and the Ma'akev, between the Moichin, the brains that are reaching up, that are trying to race upward, and the Ma'akev, the barrier that's keeping them down in place. It required the combination. Rav Nosson Zal just showed us here that the Erev Rav and the science, the philosophers, those guys, they weren't interested in going through all of that work of rescuing sparks of Kedusha and climbing the ladder, because all of that requires purity, holiness, running away from the materialism of this world. They wanted to take a shortcut. They figured they know what's going on upstairs that involves two things, and where the Shefa really ends up coming from is the Ma'akev. They thought they're going to go direct to the Ma'akev and try to bring Shefa down from there by forming these idols that come from gold, and they'll be able to do it that way. And using the services of Aaron HaKohen, who we know within Kedusha is the major player that makes it happen. V'alkein hoyo ikar hatikun al yedei maisa hamishkan. And therefore, the tikun, the repair for the golden calf, what corrected the sin of the golden calf, was the building of the Mishkan. Shebo meho ashirus shel Yisrael, which also came from wealth. The golden calf was gold, gold, gold. The Mishkan was gold and silver and copper. Vo'oz daiko neskahin aharoin bakahuna. And that's when Aaron HaKohen was really officially given over the kahuna for himself and his children and all of his descendants. V'netztave al maisa hakrobona suktoiris. And that's when he was instructed regarding all the different sacrifices in the ktoiris. And that's what's able to repair everything. By taking the wealth and returning it, connecting it to its place in holiness, where it originates from. And they used all of that wealth to prepare a residence for Hashem. Sheshom Osak Aharon B'maisa HaKorbonos HaKtoiris. And that's where Aaron HaKohen was involved in bringing all the Korbonos HaKtoiris. Shayidei Zeh Helo HaKedusha Mehech LeHatmuris, which allowed him to elevate the holiness from the Hech LeHatmuris, from the Sitra Achra. We said when you take a Korbon, an animal is no da, the opposite of das and seichel. An animal is bechina sitra achra, because we say when a person commits sins, when a person acts, he's acting like an animal. You're behaving like an animal. Taking the animal and being able to elevate parts of it on the mizbeach to holiness, ad sheolo malo malo, until he climbed higher and higher, ad shezocho lahasogas oiros hanal kitikuna. Until he was zeicher to achieve those great lights, those lights of the proper way, bebechinas moti v'loy moti, achieving it, touching it and not touching it, not being able to hold on to it. Shaydezeh nistakein kol hapegomim. This is what corrected all the sins of the Jewish people, shehoyu behefach mizeh, which were basically the opposite of this process. Paragraph Ches, V'nodo v'aviyu, and the two older sons of Aaron HaKohen, Shehoyu tzadikim noiroim, who were awesome tzadikim, Avolheim pogmu lehefech. They also messed up in this area, in doing the opposite of what was needed. Sherotzu rak lalo islamala ah. The pigam of the Erev Rav and the philosophers is that they went for the ma'akev without the redifa. They wanted to go straight to the ma'akev without going through all the work that's needed to develop the redifa samoichin. Now Rav Nosson Zal tells us that Nodav and Aviyu's mistake was the opposite. Sherotzu rak lalo islamala lamala bali ma'akev klal. They wanted to just put their foot on the accelerator. They wanted to climb and go higher and higher and higher, go closer and closer to Hashem without brakes, without a good set of brakes, without the ma'akev, without a wife. V'alkein hekrivu k'toires shaloi bizmanoi. And this is why the Torah tells us that they brought k'toires not at the right time. They hadn't been told to. V'nichnesu b'li reshus, they entered without permission, which means, again, they were running. They were running upwards, but they didn't see the stop sign. They didn't see the red light. They didn't know when you're not allowed to run. Shaloi tiknu hama'akev. They had not prepared the ma'akev, the set of brakes, the barriers, shehu hamesader v'hameyashev, which is what organizes the moichin and makes sure that they don't get messed up. Shezeu bechinas, this is why the pasuk describes them as bekorvosam lefnei Hashem. They tried getting very close to Hashem, vayomusu, and they died. Sheniskarvu yoiser mehoroi. They were trying to get closer to Hashem than they were ready for, than they were supposed to. Machma sheloi tiknu hamesader vameyashev, because they had not yet prepared the retaining wall, the brakes. V'alkein huzhar aharoin, and that's why in the beginning of last week's parsha, what we read yesterday on Shabbos, Parshas Achrei Mois, Hashem warns Aharon HaKohen, val yovoi b'chol esel hakodesh, you cannot enter into the Holy of Holies whenever you want. There's specific times. You have to know when you can, when not. Keep out. V'alkein hoya pegam shelohem begin deloyin sivu, k'mo shekosu b'Zohar HaKadosh. And this is why the Zohar HaKadosh says that the mistake on the part of Nodav and Aviyu was that they were not married. Ki ho isho nimsheches mebechinas hamesader v'miyashev anal. Because as we explained in the previous shiurim, the woman is associated with that mesader, miyashev. She is called eshes chayil ateres bala. The good woman is the crown around her husband's head. A crown is a fence, a barrier, a retaining wall, a set of brakes. V'alkein tzorich ha-kohen sheyihye nosui kemo shekosa b'zoyer. And that's why the Kohen especially has an obligation to be married, as the Zohar HaKadosh says. U'befrat ha-kohen godol b'yom ha-kippurim. Especially, the Kohen Gadol, when it comes to Yom Kippur, he cannot perform the service unless he's married. He was forbidden to perform the Avoida unless he was married at the time. Because it is impossible for a person to have that proper retaining wall, the brakes, unless he's married to a woman, shehin imsheches misham, because the woman comes from that ma'akev. That's her role. That's her position. Paragraph tes. And this is what the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, chapter 4, in the first Mishnah. Ezehu oshir hasoymeach bechelkoi. Who has achieved wealth? A person who is happy with what they have. Rav Nosson Zal shows us now how that Mishnah connects this chapter in the Likutei Moharan that we're learning about here. Ki ikar tikun hu ashirus bigdusha. Because the main success in wealth, in holy wealth, in blessed wealth, hu al yedei hasimcha daika, comes about when a person is happy. Kidaiko al yedei asimcha, because Rabbeinu Zal said over there in the Kutimran, how do you start this whole chain reaction? Through performing mitzvahs with simcha. When a person performs mitzvahs with simcha, that starts a chain reaction. Malin hakedusha me'aklipois. That allows him to go down into the sitrachra and elevate the holiness that's trapped over there. Ad shezoichen lalois. And allows him to climb the ladder, to bring that holiness up to the malchus. And then the malchus goes up to netzach hod yesoid, and so on and so forth. Ad shezoichen lalois, so lesakein kol hatikunim anal. To the point where the person is zoiche to fix and to achieve all the different tikkunim on the ladder that Rabbeinu Zal described over there, ad shemasigin oiroi sanal, until the person is zoiche to achieve those lights of the tisha hecholin in the form of moti v'leimoti, alidei b'chinas horedifa v'amakev, through the process of the redifa, the brain jumping up, reaching up to Hashem, and the ma'akev, that barrier holding it down. Shemishom hu yiridas hashefa. And it's from there, it's when the person taps into there, that's when they generate a flow of shefa, of sustenance, of blessing from Hashem. Shehu bechinas ashirus, which is proper wealth, holy wealth, blessed wealth. Interesting to note, tied into this paragraph test that we just completed, that Rabbeinu Zal, over there in Likut Imran, when he speaks about wealth, he says there's two kinds of wealth. There's a wealth that's associated with sadness and depression and worry. There's a mission in Pirkei Avos that says, Mar ben achosim, mar bedaiga. The more possessions a person has, the more worries they have, which is atzvus, which is synonymous with depression, etc. There's a different kind of wealth. There's the opposite kind of wealth, where the pasuk says, Birkas Hashem hi tashir, when the blessing of Hashem is giving the person his wealth, v'lo yosef otsev ima, then there is no sadness, no depression associated with it. So here, Rav Nosson Zal gave it to us from this Mishnah, Ezeu Osher HaSameach B'chelkoi, that proper wealth, a wealth that's a blessing, that's a good wealth, is a wealth that comes from a person who is zoiche to be someach b'chelkoi, to be happy with their lot. We know that Rabbeinu Zal gave us the story of the Tam, the Chacham and the Tam, the simpleton and the sophisticate, where he speaks about two kids who started off in the same school, they grew up together, and mamish, they were close friends. And as they grew apart from each other. One of them became very sophisticated, and he studied all kinds of things. He studied jewelry, studied diamond making. He became a doctor, all kinds of wisdoms, became super, super sophisticated and super angry and depressed and dissatisfied. Nothing was good for him. Nothing was good for him. Nobody was good enough for him, etc. That's the sophisticate. And Rabbeinu Zal tells us about the Tam, the simpleton, who wasn't stupid, just very simple. He went ahead and became a shoemaker, and he lived a simple life, poor, but very happy, very satisfied with what he had. And Rabbeinu Zal shows over there in the story that he was always happy. And when the two get reunited years later, the simpleton sees his buddy, his friend, his childhood buddy, who has achieved so much success in life. He's knowledgeable in every area of knowledge. He knows everything. And he's so smart in everything. And he sees that he's always grumpy, complaining, unhappy, dissatisfied. And he says to him at one point, why? Why can't you be like me? Why can't you be happy and satisfied? Why are you always unhappy? And the sophisticate says to him, Of course I can be like you. If I lose my mind, if I become an idiot, I'll be like you. But you could never get to what I've achieved. This is what the sophisticate says to the simpleton. And the simpleton smiles at him and says, Never say never, buddy. Never say never. And sure enough, the story continues that a short while later, through a whole series of events, the simpleton is chosen by the king and he elevates him. He puts him in charge. He makes him a governor. And Rabbein Ezal shows over there that because of his being put into this new position, because he was elevated, he experienced this elevation, it goes together with intellect. Hashem knows when to give a person wisdom and knowledge. And when this shoemaker was appointed governor, Hashem said, now's the time. And he created circumstances whereby this shoemaker had people around him and everything that educated him. He got a very quick education, and within a matter of months, he received an education that other people would need 10, 20 years to achieve, of university and graduate school and medical, all kinds of things. And we see, Rabbein Ezal told this story for us. He wanted us to know that this is a critical piece of advice in life. That if a person who has not achieved major success in life yet, and their relative, not the smartest person, if that person will have faith in Hashem and be able to accept their situation with happiness, to be satisfied, completely satisfied with what they have, because this is what Hashem has given me, so it's got to be good. Hashem is Mr. Good. Toiv Hashem Lakoel, the Pasuk says. Hashem's first name, middle name, and last name are Toiv. Yud Kei Vav Kei, if you take Hashem's name Yud Kei Vav Kei and break it down to its simple level, Yud, which is 10, we drop the 0. So Yud is 1, He is 5, Vav is 6, and He is 5. Its Bigimatria is 17, which is Toiv. So Hashem is everything. Everything I have comes from Hashem. Hashem is good, therefore everything I have must be good. If a person trains themselves to live that way, and they do it for the right amount of time, very often Hashem will change the situation and elevate that person, take that person to a different level of wealth, of success and happiness, and with the hope that it won't ruin the person. With a hope that it won't cause the person to become arrogant, to forget where it's coming from. That it's coming, the same Hashem who provided him before when he was a shoemaker is the same Hashem who has given him his knowledge, his friends, his wealth, his position, his high-level position. We find, unfortunately, and again, just to bring a case of real life, I myself had a situation in the past few weeks of coming into contact with two people. One is an attorney who's a Baal Tshuva, a very high-level attorney who deals with very high-level things, who became a Chozer B'Tshuva, became religious and more religious and growing every day in his Yiddishkeit. And this high-level attorney deals with people, clients, who are also high-level, successful people. And there was a situation where he was involved with a very successful person, supposedly, for a period of a couple of years, working with him, trying to prepare a deal, a business deal, whereby this very wealthy person would achieve, this client of his could achieve major, major wealth and success. Sure enough, it took months of work and effort and everything, and sure enough, with Hashem's help, the deal went through. Went through, the person made it, and earned a major sum of money. From that day that the deal went through, the lawyer is trying to get in touch with the person, not answering any phone calls, no emails, nothing. Total break. Because the lawyer told me he knows from experience, he's seen this happen before, that sometimes when people achieve a major success in finance or something like that, they forget completely. They forget their friends, in quote, they forget people who helped them along the way, and unfortunately, lo aleinu, in many cases, they forget Hashem, chas v'shalom. Paragraph Yud. Rav Nelson Zal now goes into the topic of ksubos, Hilchas Ksuba, and he's going to connect that to what we've been learning about till now. The fact that when a Jewish couple get married, part of what makes the marriage legal and official is that the husband prepares a document, a ksuba, whereby he guarantees the wife that he's going to take care of her, he's going to provide for her, and even if, chas v'shalom, he should die or divorce her, he will give her a certain amount of financial support to take care of her. V'zeh b'chinas ma'shechayev liten le'ishtoi ksuba. Based on what we're learning here, we'll understand why the husband is required to give his wife a ksuba. V'osur lo derem ishtoi b'lo ksuba. And a man is forbidden to live with his wife unless there is this marriage contract between them. Kimuchroch lahamshich lo shefo ashirus. Because the husband is obligated to provide for her and to see to it that there is this flow of wealth for her. Shaideze ikar hakesher vachibur beineim. Because this is a critical part of the connection of what unites them. Kitzorech lahaaloiso mehechli hatmurois shenechosin bo beyoser. The husband has to elevate the wife from the sitrachra, from the tuma, from the hechli hatmurois, which attaches itself to her most easily. Bebechinas, as the pasuk says, ragleho yordois moves. The feet go down into death. The feet represent the malchus, the feet are the wife. We mentioned the Gemara says a person should sell everything he has and get a good wife, marry a bas talmud chacham, and a person should sell everything he has and buy a good pair of shoes. The shoes, the Zohar Kodesh says, nal do itza, the shoes are the wife. That's the shoes of the person, which is again like the crown around the head. The shoes are like a crown around the feet. So Rav Nosson Zal tells us here from the Sifrei Kabbalah that the feet are what are most vulnerable to the ground, to the sitrachra, to the dirt. And the husband's role is to elevate the wife from the dirt, from moves, from the sitrachra, lahaloisa, to pick her up, al yedei ha-simcha. How does he pick her up? Through simcha. Bebechina sanal, as we discussed earlier, through asiyas ha-mitzvois besimcha, ad shetale lebechinas keser, to the point where the husband elevates the wife, the woman. She was down there in the klipos, in the sitrachra, she was in the basement, below the malchus. He brings her up to malchus, to netzachoy disoy, he brings her all the way up to the keser. Bebechinas isho oilo imoy, as the Gemara says, a woman goes up with her husband. Kedei sheyia nimshach hachibur mebechinas yichud v'chibur uklolius oradif amakev. So that the union between the husband and the wife should be drawing from the union, the connection of the redifa and the ma'akev, the moichin and the keser. V'ikra shleimusu kishezoiche la'alois l'shom bebechinas rotzei v'shoiv. And the real perfection is when a person is zoicha to go up to that level, but he goes up in a manner that he still has his parachute. He knows when to come back down. He's able to go up and come back down safely and successfully. Ad sheyizke lahamshich misham shefa. And when? How do we know that? If he's able to succeed to go up, all the way up and connect to the keser, and be able to bring down sustenance, bring down a flow of shefa, parnasa. Shezeu b'chinas yiridas ha-shefa achrat tefila kanal. As we discussed in the previous year, that's the concept where during shachris, a person is climbing. When a person says korbanos, they're going down into the klipos and elevating the holiness from there and bringing it into the kedusha, into the malchus. And then throughout korbanos, they're making the tikkun for the olam ha'asiya. Then psuke de zimra, they go up to the next world, they go into yitzira. And in Berchas Kriya Shema, they go up to Bria. And in Shmon Esrei, they go up to Atzilus. We go up to the top of the top. But then, so a person would say, finish, we made it to the top, we can close up shop. No, that's not closing up shop. After that, we go through a process of coming back down and bringing down a flow of sustenance, which is what happens after Shmon Esrei. In the Ashrei of Oletzi and Asher Shem, that's when there's a Yeridas HaShefa. That's when we succeed in bringing down a flow of Shefa from that highest place. Ki yesh lefamim she'echod oila v'nichlal sham lefisho kala, because there are times that a person makes it up to the top. He races up to the top of the mountain, to that very high place, for a short moment. V'tekef u'miyad megashen oisei mishom. But then the person immediately gets kicked out of there, v'einoi mekabel mishom klum, and does not succeed in getting any sustenance from there. Before they have a chance to fill their pockets or to put stuff in their suitcase, they get pushed out. And sometimes, as a result of that, as a result of the fact that the person went to such a high place but came back down with nothing, they did not succeed in getting what they were supposed to get up there, the Sitra Achra attacks the person even more so than before. Kihem Oirvin Olov Tomid. Because the Sitra Achra is always trying to attack. They're always lying in ambush. They're always waiting for an opportunity to see if they can grab, if they can do something to harm the person. And when the Sitra Achra sees that someone is trying to run away from them, and to go up to a very high place, sometimes they'll chase him even more. They'll attack him even worse. If the person did not succeed in bringing back down some quality goods that they got, you know, a powerful light that they got from having been up there, sheyuchal al yodo lamoy kenegdom, which would give the person the ability to stand up to them, to the Sitra Achra. There's a battle going on here. There's a war. We are fighting the Sitra Achra. The Sitra Achra is down below, and we're trying. Sometimes they tackle us. They grab us by our feet, and they tackle us. They attack from the woman, the feet. And that's what they use to get at the man, chas v'shalom. But if the man is zoche to run away from them and to start racing up that ladder and climbing up to the top, he has a chance of succeeding in getting away from them completely. When? If he follows all the steps, if he climbs to the top of the ladder and he gets to the keser and he succeeds in connecting there properly and bringing about a yerida of shefa, bringing back down a flow of shefa, that serves as a protection for him against the Sitra Achra, who when they see somebody trying to run away from them, we know sometimes they chase the person even more. Lahavdil, a dog. A dog, when it sees somebody running away from him, he goes after the person even stronger. Ukemuvan mizeh bahatoyra vayomer boyaz elrus. As we find, Rabbein Nazal explains this concept and discusses it in chapter 65 in the Likutei Moran, where there also he discusses going up to a very high place and making sure to bring back down with you what you need. Because when you go up to such a high place, when you start coming back down, the Sitra Achra looks and says, "Haha, now we're really going to get him." And unless you were successful in getting what you needed to get from up there, in Torah Samachay, Rabbein Nazal speaks about bringing down a new portion of Torah. If the person does not bring down that new portion of Torah, he could be harmed even worse by the Sitra Achra. Because this concept that we're discussing here about achieving those nine hecholim, afal pi shi madrega govoya moid moid, even though this is a very, very high level, she'ein zeichen elav kim gedoyle hatzadikim hamuvchorem hakdosh moid, which the only ones who achieve that level are the highest, highest level tzaddikim, afal pikein, still, gam ba'anoshim pshutim, ha'moishchem atzmem elav yisporach. Even simple, regular Jews who are trying to come close to Hashem, la'avdoi be'emes, to serve Hashem with real sincerity, gam etzlam nimtza lefomim, shemagi aleim eze he'ora, v'snoitetzu selukus, ha'nimshach misham. They also sometimes experience a spark of light or a flow of light that comes from the 60th floor, that comes from all the way up there. Mibechinas hatishechon, from those nine hecholim. There are times that Hashem opens the door a crack. He opens the curtain a little bit to give a Baal Tshuva a blast of light that he needs, you know, to be able to pick him up. Ukemuvon bahatoira anoichi, as Rabbeinu Zal touches on this also in chapter 4 in Likut Imran, towards the latter part of that chapter, where Rabbeinu Zal says there, Shegam la'anoshim pshutim niftach lohem oir lefame betfilosim, that even people who are not great tzaddikim, they're not on a very high level, sometimes when they're davening, they'll experience a deep connection to Hashem, where that light shines down upon them. That oir ein soif, that infinite light of Hashem, opens up for them a tiny drop, and they receive a high. Ayin Sham, look over there in chapter 4 in Likut Imran. Ach lechol echod magia lefi ha'oilam v'hamadrega shehu boy. However, this happens to each and every single person, depending on what world he's in, depending on what level he's on. In other words, it happens to each and every single person differently. Ki gam bo'olam hu'asiya yesh b'chinas hisnoitetzus mi'atishei cholan anal. Because Rav Nosson Zal tells us, even in the lowest world, in the olam hu'asiya, there are times that there are sparks from those tishei cholin that reach even the lowest world. V'afal pi shegam hisnoitetus bialma hu zechia gedoyla ma'oid be'ezah madregashu, and even though it's true that to receive the tiniest spark of this incredible high-level light is an incredible privilege, you got to be really, really fortunate for Hashem to give you something that afal pi kein still ho'ikar. The main thing is, kishezoicha lahamshich chius v'shefa kedoisha misham. When a person connects with that high-level light, and they're able to bring down a flow of shefa, a flow of sustenance that's coming from there. Sheyir loy koyach al yidei zeh lahachius esatzmoy acharkach b'chol masharalav, which is what will enable the person to sustain himself and to survive all the things he'll go through afterwards, v'lamoid b'milchama, and to be able to withstand the battles, the wars, that the fraction of light that a person gets that moment won't necessarily do it. That'll last him a couple of seconds. He'll have a high. But afterwards, when he comes back down and he has to deal with the daily battles, the daily battlefield of life in this world, unless he succeeded in bringing down a flow of shefa that he can hold on to, that spark that he got that moment, unfortunately, in most cases, will not be enough to give him the strength that he needs to stand up to all the battles and everything. Ki bevadai achar kach kishechoizer misham mezgarim bo yoyser eich litmurois. Because when the person comes back down from that high, you can be sure that the Sitrachra is not going to forget about him. They see this astronaut, this guy who they know went upstairs a little bit and came back down. They want to see, is he part of the 90% who go up there and don't bring down a big package of protective stuff? So they can punch him out, they can beat him up even more than before. Or is he the one in a thousand, or the one, you know, who when he encountered that high, was able to connect with it well enough to be able to bring down a flow of shefa that will sustain him for a couple of weeks or a couple of months or a couple of years? Rabbi Nelson Zal says, "Kederech shnei bnei adam shenelcham ze baze," because this follows the pattern of two people who are fighting each other. When one of them sees that the other one is winning, that the other one has achieved some success, the one who hasn't succeeded doesn't necessarily give up. He says, "Oh, he thinks he's going to beat me up. Watch this. I'm going to try even harder." So the Sitra Achra also, when they see somebody experience an aliyah, they don't quit. They don't give up on him so fast. He went up. Okay, we'll show him. We'll climb up also. We'll also fight him. Even worse, harder than before. Kemavur b'makam acher. As Rabbi Nizal discusses this over there in chapter 65 in the Likutei Moran that we mentioned before, paragraph Dalit, paragraph 4. V'tzorech lizgaber negdom al yedei horeshimu toivo shenishar mehisnoite tzusanal. So how does a person fight this? How does a person succeed? But if he's able to hold on to some of that high, some of that spiritual high that he experienced when he went up there, if he's able to hold on to that, then from the imprint that's left from that, that gives him the ability to stand up to the opposition. If he's holding on to that, that gives him the ability to remember the oneness of Hashem and the sweetness that he experienced when he went to that high place. And that's what gives the person the ability to draw upon himself a deep respect for Hashem, lamoid neged hamizgaren boy, which gives him the ability to stand up to all of his opponents, all of his opposition, im yishmor es hazikora in hetev, if he will remember very well, if he'll be able to remember that high and hold on to those memories, lizkor boy yisporach b'chol pam, and remember Hashem at all times, acharei asher kvar chomal olav Hashem yisporach, since Hashem already showed him such incredible kindness, v'heirloi eze hisnoitetzus, Hashem shined down upon him this bright light, this beautiful bright light that he got, whether it was for a moment or whatever it was. Ukemavur bedvarav zal, as Rabbeinu Zal explains in his teachings, shemi sherak misnoitetzloi Hashem yisporach, that a person who even receives just a spark of Hashem's great light, that has to be enough to be able to last the person, to be able to sustain the person, and give him the ability to stand up to all kinds of opposition. Ayin Shom B'Simen Reish Chav Beis B'Likutei Aleph. Take a look in chapter 222, in the first half of Likutei Moran, where Rabbeinu Zal speaks about that. That even a person who has only been given a tiny look at Hashem, a tiny spark, that also is something that is so powerful that it could give the person an infusion of strength, of spiritual strength, that should give him the ability to be able to stand up to all kinds of spiritual opposition that a person encounters in life. We'll hold it over here for now.